Morning, Torah Or, Parshas Mishpatim, page I in Tess, second column, in the middle of the page. So, the Alter Rebbe is explaining, you need to do a few things. Number one, you need to have a keli. A keli, you have to bang it out and make a hole, that to be able to hold something. Which in Ruchnius means you got to have a broken heart, to be able to be a vessel that you're not fully yourself, because if you're full of yourself, there's no room for Hashem. And then he says, what else do you need? That not to be running after even permissible things, because that makes you coarse. And then he says another thing is you have to rinse it out inside and outside, which means rinse yourself from all, like we just said, all these desires and taivas and all. And then he says another thing. Like it says, Bechana, she didn't have any yulodim, which means she didn't have any love or fear, spiritually speaking. So therefore, what does she do? She davened al havaya, higher than Yudke Vavke. So the Alter Rebbe explained, Yudke Vavke is what creates the world and everything is and that, and it's only a ray of the Shekhinah. So, because that wasn't working, so how do you reach a level if it's not working? So you have to tap into a higher source, Al Havaya, higher than Yudke Vavke. And over there, everything's equal. So therefore, Hashem can give you Rachmanis and have, that you still have, and therefore she had kids afterwards. Okay, so it says, a little bit past midway of the second Kalmavayin test. Yizel, Amelech Amremun Levadi. This is what we say in davening, the king was exalted alone. Hamisnasim, we may say, Lom, who is above the days of the world, meaning, Shuram, Venisa, Megadr, Bechinas, Elam, that Hashem is infinitely greater even than the concept of world. Because even like we learned yesterday, Sevev Kol Almin, yes, it's infinite, it's encompassing, but it's still Kol Almin, it's still encompassing the world. Like we learned yesterday, clothing has to fit you. But this is misnasim mimei Salem, completely removed from that. The fikah, therefore, what do we say right afterwards in davening? Berachamecha harabim. With your great mercy, have mercy on us. Meaning, even though according to the laws of nature, you shouldn't be getting it, that love and the fear and everything because you didn't make a keli and all that. So what do we say? Because Hashem, you're completely removed from world. World means nothing to you. So therefore, reveal yourself. Rachamecha harabim. Your infinite level of rachmanis. Shemach mitzis nasu simimei elim. Because Hashem is exalted from world. Adim cheket. To no extreme. God la be'ena v'rachmanis ha'kol elim. So therefore, Hashem really has pity on the world. Meaning like this. When you understand how much down and out something is, that's how much you have rachmanis on them. If you don't realize that the person is down and out, then you're not going to have rachmanis on them.
Right.
That's why they tell stories of very wealthy people that every year, one day, they would dress up like paupers to remind themselves of what it was before they became wealthy. So he says, and therefore Hashem has tremendous rachmanis. When Hashem looks at the world, he says, how low it is. He made it that way, but how far gone it is. How down and out it is. Hashem Pashen, you know, I have pity on you guys. You're so low. I'll have rachmanis on you. And he says,
so low, you're not
even more. No. Hashem has rachmanis even on the higher worlds. Like Ganei Noelyein. To the highest level of world, any level of world is Ola means Helam concealment. Hashem, they're all equal. If they're all equal, so it doesn't matter if the highest and the lowest, they're all the same. And therefore he says, Mashen came by Elam Senet Solomon Ivroi. Kol Mashiated Matamato Mismite Bechinus Rachmin. In other words, like this, from our perspective, from world's perspective, sometimes you don't understand the real rachmanis on the thing. From world's perspective, the lower you are, there's a difference between if you're lower or higher. So therefore he says that Machmonis ko ach bechinis aretz alizor gashmis. In other words, like this. The worst thing that can happen is a person doesn't even realize how low they are. Or to use medical terms, in order to be healthy, you need to realize how sick you are and then you can go get help. If you feel you're not sick and you're super healthy, that's the worst possible scenario. So he says, when people are so low, they don't even realize how low they are. So it's not going to work because you need to have rachmanis, but you don't even understand that rachmanis is needed.
But is that the fourth child that comes to the
Seder
or the fifth child?
The fifth. Hey, no, given shanachnu b'seichek rachmanis so eitzel gadol alakotem, because normally mercy rachmanis is a person is better off versus a person that's less off. I don't mean financial, whatever the situation is, you are a better situation, they're a lesser situation, you can have rachmanis on them. But because normally pity is a greater person and a lower person. Because Hashem is so infinitely great. Therefore, Rachmanis is much more. In other words, push comes to shove, nothing works. Number one, realize you need pity. Realize you need help. Because as long as you don't realize you need help, nothing's going to happen. So when you realize you need help, then you turn to Hashem and say, Rachamecha Rabbi, Hamisnasim, you may say, you're completely removed from any concept of the world whatsoever. Now you need Rachmanis, so then you ask for it. Ki Kamei, Shemisnas Adin Chayka, just like Hashem is infinitely removed from the world, Kach Rachamav Rabbi. Even though his name is removed, he's still the God of the world. In other words, what we're saying is, as infinite as Hashem is, he should have rachmanis on us low things. Like we said, that's what we do in davening. You have Sukkot Zimra, then your Birchas Krishma, and what do we do right before Krishma? In Ava Salem, Avinu Averachm, Racham Nachun Aleinu, Hevechmecha Rabim. Hashem, your infinite mercy. You know, the Rebbe of Shab's brother, the Radzad, of Zalman Aaron, said, the Gemara says, Shaita Asil Racham Aleph. It's forbidden to have Rachmanis on a Shaita, you know, on a fool. So the Radzad said, by the way, some people interpret it, Shaita, not Asil. It's forbidden. Also, you're bound l'rachim olaf. It's the opposite. But this doesn't mean don't have, you can't have pity on him. It says no. Also, you're bound. But the Razor said, look at the Torah says, you know, I'll have pity on the shaita. So he says, look how great the pity is on the shaita that even Torah says you can't have pity on him. It shows the great pity you need to have on the fool, because even Torah says he can't have pity on the fool. So can you imagine how bad that is? So for sure you need to have fool. Okay, Bekashon, what do we ask? The fisha einonu masin yebisechleinu. Because we don't get it in our seichel, because we're so, not only stupid, it's just, we're so coarse that we don't even understand. It's like, the Rebbe used to say this many times. Somebody spits in your face,
I think it's rain.
And the person says, oh, look at this bracha of rain. The guy's degrading you. He's spitting in your face. Oh, that's how far gone we are. Yeah. The problem is people, the worst thing is to make darkness light, not to transform it. That on darkness, you say, oh, look at this light. You don't even know it's dark. That's the first thing. The first thing Chassidus explains is, like the Rabbi writes in Sarah Yemei, the first thing you need to know and to do is to realize how low you are. Because otherwise, in other words, the more you realize how sick you are, the more you're going to get cured. What?
More the problem is half the solution is more in the problem.
Correct.
When you say infinite Rachmanis, is that because he's coming from an infinite place or we're infinitely down there?
Both. Because he's infinitely great, he understands the severity of the need of a Rachmanis on us. And therefore, the Rachmanis is that even though you have no children, meaning spiritual, the Ava Yira, like you're saying the whole time, nevertheless, you have to reach a level of Al Lechanadit, Al Hashem, higher than Yudke Vavke, higher than world. And from there, you're asking Hashem to give it Rachmanis.
Is that depression the worst sin?
Depression?
Is the worst sin in Judaism?
No. The Baden Kalina said there's two things. One of them is not a mitzvah, but what this thing could bring you to, no mitzvah could bring you to. And there's a thing that, according to Torah, is not a sin, but the low level this thing could bring you to, no sin could bring you to. So he said, mikveh for a man is not a mitzvah. But the level of Kedusha, mikveh, could bring a man to, no other mitzvah could bring him to. And then he said, sadness, depression, is not an Aveda. No, it doesn't say anywhere in Torah you're not allowed to be depressed. But so it's not an Aveda, per se. But the low level, depression could bring somebody to, no other Aveda could bring you to.
Say again?
The low level, the sadness and depression could bring you to, no other Aveda could bring you to.
Because when you say, you have to recognize, makes us a little bit depressed. We should be doing it with the happiness.
Correct. Depression is only for the Yetzer Hara. In Kedusha, you need to have Simcha.
Right. So when you know depression
is a holy tool that the Yetzer Hara uses. He cloaks it in Kedusha. You're depressed because you're so far away from Hashem. It sounds good. It sounds very whole, spiritual. But that's only the Eitzar to get you to stop doing mitzvahs. So therefore, as low as a person is, he can be depressed. Why? Because he knows that the Eibush Hashem, in his infinite Rachmanis, will have Rachmanis on you.
But that's if he has a choice.
It's not in the hands of someone. That somebody's depressed.
That's what I'm saying. It's not a choice.
I have no control.
He doesn't have a choice. He's so depressed, he doesn't even have a choice.
That's why you didn't learn enough Chassidus. I'm not going to say enough Chassidus.
No,
because Chassidus says that even a person who seemingly is depressed because of some other things beyond their control, it's still within their control to change it. In other words, according to Tanya, when the Alter Rebbe discusses Rosh Verali in Perek Yud Aleph, Rosh Verali never does tshuva, nothing, no regrets, nothing. To the extent of only Shechina over his head. In other words, it's only encompassing, it's not internal at all. And he says that person is totally controlled by his evil. So L'chari, he can't, right? He can't do anything. He's controlled by his Yetzer Hara. He allowed it to happen, but once it happens, he's addicted. Yes. Nevertheless, Chassidus explains, even that person could become a Baal Tshuva. Even a Rosh Gomer. Even a Rosh Gomer can do Tshuva. Even when God himself says about Acher, you can't do Tshuva, you could still do Tshuva. Even when Hashem says to Pari, I'm going to harden your heart, he could still do Tshuva. So what if Chassidus come along and say that even if you're addicted to depression, which seemingly you're coming along and say, it's not my fault, right now I'm in a situation, I can't help it, comes along Chassidus and says, you could help it because you have a neshama. And when that neshama wakes up and davens to Hashem with his infinite mercy, Hashem in his infinite mercy can get you to do tshuva, undepressed.
Don't you need another person?
There is no such thing. The Rebbe, according to the Rebbe's opinion, more than all the other Rabbeim, depression is the worst possible thing that anything can happen. There's more than the Alter Rebbe, more than all the other Rabbeim. The Rebbe was stressing under any circumstance how bad the situation was by the Rebbe. The Rebbe is telling the person to be besimcha. Yeah? When people came to the Rebbe, Taku, real problem. Not the, they didn't have pizza for Saturday night because they were closed. You know what I mean? Real issues, yeah? Real logical, tailor weight reasons to be depressed. The Rebbe says you have to be besimcha. What, the Rebbe is a dreamer? He's not a realist. The Rebbe is a very realist. The Rebbe is telling me you have to be besimcha. What do you mean, be besimcha? I can't. The Rebbe says, yes, you could. What do you mean you can't? You could. Because you have a neshama. That neshama, even as the Shekhinah is on you, it's a meaning superficial. But you can daven, and you can do, and you ask Hashem to awaken Rachmanis. It happens. Is it easy? Of course not. If it'd be easy, we wouldn't be here.
Some people who have some behaviors implanted in them.
Right. Physiological deficiencies.
Dominion and Monica. That they can change also?
According to Tata, yeah,
abomination.
A person who is born with tendency to steal. Now, in the secular world, yeah, they can temporary insanity, and therefore, you know, you get off the hook. You're born like that, or you're raised like that. You know, according to Taylor, it's Baba Mises. Yes, you might be born with a tendency to steal. You might be born with a tendency to kill. You might be tendency to be gay, lesbian, whatever. But Taylor says, no, but I'm not saying you're not born with that thing, but you could control it. You can overcome it. Moyach shalat alalev. The mind controls the heart. And according to Torah, it doesn't justify your stealing because that's the way I was raised. By a Jew, not by a guy. Yishmol, you know, they said, I can't get to Torah because we steal. And Esav said, by them, that's a different story. By a Yid, they may have tendencies to do a lot of things. According to Torah, it doesn't justify it. And you're punished equally. Whether you have it. Why? Because Torah says, Hashem created some people with a tendency to do some bad things. But you still have the ability to overcome it. That's the uniqueness of Torah. According to Chassidus. Whatever. What did you want?
Don't you need another person to take you out of the bar, the hole?
Yeah.
You say use a guard to get the person out. Because some people, they are so, let's say a person is very depressed, or he's in a matzah, that he's mamish in the hole. Don't you need somebody to get out of that prison to turn the key to do something? I mean, if he can't do it himself, what is he supposed to do?
Then he davens to Hashem to help him out of it. And if he davens and he means it, Hashem takes care of it.
Hashem will send somebody to get him out.
Yeah, whichever way it works. Whichever way it works.
But it's for some people. It's
one second. You know what? People always ask, why doesn't Hashem answer my prayers? He doesn't answer. Yeah? What's the answer to the question? The answer is two things. Number one, Hashem answers all our tefillahs. Sometimes the answer is no. You want something, you're davening for this, yeah? Hashem says, I know what's better for you. So, like a little kid wants something that's dangerous. So, today's parents just give in. They what kid wants, it's entitlement, and that's it, you give it. A normal parent would say, I know better, and it's dangerous for you, and therefore I'm not going to give it to you. Okay? And that is the loving parent, not the other parent that gives in. That's an idiot parent. Okay? That's not a parent. Now, when a Jew davens for things, Hashem says, I know that for you it's better not to have it. So my answer, you're not getting it. It's not that he doesn't. Hashem is busy doing something else. He's busy by the Super Bowl, or he's busy by the Olympics in China with COVID. You know what I mean? He's not. Hashem listens, Hashem answers. Sometimes the answer is no. That's number one. Secondly, why doesn't sometimes Hashem answer? Because Hashem says to us like this, you want something for me? Mean it when you daven it. Concentrate, don't have your mind all over the place, and, give me something. Dr. Rebbe uses the marshal in the Chassidus, it brings down, a guy is talking to the king for personal requests. Okay, and you have a one slot ability to get it. you're going to concentrate completely talking to the king. You're not going to be all over the place. And by the way, you say to the king, give me one. It doesn't work like that. So a person is davening to Hashem. He's all over the place. He's thinking about this chocolate and the hot shmat of coffee, whatever.
That's right.
Yeah, and that's what he's thinking about. And then you say, Hashem didn't answer my prayer. Yeah, why should he? Why should he? You want to ask for something? Ask like a mensch. You give me this, give me this, give me this. The parent says, either ask like a mensch or you're not getting it. That's part of parenting. Hashem is their parent. Hashem says, listen, you want things. First of all, ask like a mensch. Okay? Realize that I'm the guy that can do it. I'm the one that can give it to you. Secondly, you're talking to me, you're asking me for something, concentrate on it. That's the general word. Daven like a mensch mean properly intend. Know what you want.
Okay.
And then realize another thing. We're asking Hashem to give us everything. The truth is, whatever I'm saying now is wrong, not wrong. From our perspective. From Hashem's perspective, even if we don't deserve it, he has to give it to us anyway. But we're his kids. Unconditional support. But sometimes we come to Hashem and we say, hey God, give me this, 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 and this. Hashem turns down to us and says, listen, boy chick, I asked you to do A, B, C, D, E. Yeah? I told you, let's use human terms. I told you to clean your room. You want a car? Yeah, kid. I told you to clean your room. You didn't clean your room. Why in the world should I give you the car? Oh, one second. One second. That's called cop-out in English. Okay. Now, a guy comes to Hashem and says, I want health, wealth, happiness, children, nachas, you know, everything good. Hashem says, one second, let's get this straight. I asked you to do a Yiddishkeit, A, B, C, D, E. Yeah, mitzvah A, B, C, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 6, 13. You don't do that. Yeah? Why in the world do you think I have to give you what you want? It doesn't work. It's not a one-way street here. Yes, today's generation is a generation of entitlement. But God doesn't work like that. God says, you want something. And therefore, the Gemara says, based on the Pasuk, Abide Lev, Abide Lev means the strong-hearted person. The Gemara says, a strong-hearted person, meaning a tzaddik, a bitterly refers to the tzaddik, who is far from tzedakah, meaning, if I work for you properly, and then I come for my paycheck, I'm not asking for tzedakah. I'm asking what I deserve. If I don't work for you, I didn't do my job, and I say, hey, give me a check, that's called tzedakah. Tzaddikim do what Hashem wants. When they come to ask Hashem, hey, pay up, health, wealth, they're not asking for tzedakah. They're asking, Hashem, I deserve it. I listened to you. I cleaned up my room. I washed the dishes. With all the other junk that become possible. And then Hashem says, oh, yeah, check it out. Fine, I'm giving you a check. I'm not giving you tzedakah. But you don't do anything. You say, hey, God, give me a check. You know what I mean? I spit you in the face the whole year. And Father's Day, I buy you a tie. Nobody wears ties anymore.
He still gives.
That's what I'm saying. Because from Hashem's perspective, he is so kind.
Yes.
He says, you spit me in the face, but I love you unconditionally. I'm still going to give it to you.
Wow. Word of wisdom.
Phenomenal.
What did it take this truck? I'm not eating it. Because I don't want.
Is it parv?